requesting that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, we will be interviewing and worshiping with Pastor Craig Hagen of Rhema Bible Church. Thank you for joining us, Christian Patriots, where we strive to plug you into the pew, plug you into politics. I am Pastor Gay with you, and this is an awesome opportunity. Those of you who are with us, please stay tuned. We're going to have the grandson of Pastor Kenneth Hagen, who many of you know and have read many of his books. He's on today. He is also somebody who's in what I would say the controversial realm as well, because he's a patriot who's very vocal. He's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I just want to thank you guys for joining us so much. Hey, make sure you really join the whole effort right now, along with joining in the spirit, and come and worship with us. This is what God has been challenging me to do, is get into his presence with some of these amazing speakers and let the spirit just lead. So with that, I just want to introduce and welcome to the show Pastor Craig Hagen. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing today?
It's good to have you. I know this is going to be a great episode. And so just know, I was just saying a second ago, the whole entire Rocky Mountains are in between you and I, but through the you know, amazingness of the internet, you're in your studio and they're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm here in Spokane, Washington. If Apostle Paul could have done this with Silas and Barnabas and all those guys,
man, how awesome that would have been.
Imagine how many more people they would have brought to Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't realize, like, with the internet and things like that, you know, how we can reach people that we would have never met, you know, in the real world, you know, back in the old fashioned days. I stay up late at night, and used to, I don't do it quite as much, but when I first got on Facebook, I would play some of their Facebook games.
Right.
And I noticed a lot of people, a lot of times, if you friend some of the people you're playing with, you got more points or whatever.
Right.
Well, half these people lived in Australia.
Oh, wow. And
so because, you know, they were awake, I shouldn't be asleep, but I wasn't, you know, and so it's amazing. So I was actually able to talk to some people who I would have never met if I wouldn't have played these dumb Facebook games, and they live in Australia, but knew nothing about, and we do have Rhema Australia, but they knew nothing about our ministry or anything. But because of a stupid game, I was able to talk to people that I would never, ever met in real life.
Well, I love it, man. Hey, I just want to, before we get started, I'm so excited. I normally talk about our website before I introduce our guests, but I had to introduce you first, Pastor Craig. I want to lead our watchers right now just to our website. Please check out churchandstate.media. Check out our past interviews. Check out, you know, some of the awesome interviews we've got to have in the past. Been really blessed. There's an interview with a young man named Julian Georgette who he's just been such a blessing already. Pastor Craig, I just see the Lord lining up a lot of pastors to come on this show, because we truly are in the last days. It's unbelievable how God is speaking to pastors right now, and especially pastors like yourself. And we've seen an uptick in pastors with spines. This is not a shameless plug, but I do have to say this. One of the companies there that we sponsor is out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They actually have meat that they sell that's free dried. Do you know Jordan and Nace with Grid Down Chow Down?
Yeah, I mean, I've met them. I don't really know them okay. Well, but I know who they are and met them through Clay Clark, obviously.
Yeah, so they make this product in your backyard, freeze dried food. I'm going to highlight that just for a second. These guys,
it's actually really good meat too. I mean, yeah. Surprisingly, I mean, because I know whenever Clay got the, you know, before he wanted to push it, he wanted to make sure it tastes fun. He goes, so they had a bunch of it. So taste this. I'm like, hey, it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And we're going to talk about some of the very issues, like, hey, can we be bunker Christians? And then also, how do we be a light to the world, but at the same time, be prepared and be bunker Christians? We have not been called to live in fear. We've been called to live in faith, but there's nothing wrong with preparation. This is one way to prepare. You could even take this stuff, and if you wanted to just make lasagna and you ran out of meat and your wife had forgotten to buy it, you can go downstairs, grab some of this stuff. So enough about that. Tulsa, Oklahoma. you're coming up upon your 50th anniversary of Rhema Bible College. One of my friends, and he's actually, his son and I grew up together, Ben Sharkey, the son of Rick Sharkey. Rick Sharkey, a local pastor in this area, graduated from Rhema Bible College. Many, many people that I know have gone to the school right there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You guys are celebrating your 50th anniversary. That is huge. Like, that's massive.
Yeah, May 17th will be 50 years of Rhema, so we're pretty excited. We have a special celebration graduation, you know, that we're doing on May the 17th. It's all online as well. And then actually our homecoming is actually in February. So next February 2025, we're going to have another big celebration. It'll be our first 50-year reunion that we're having, you know. And, you know, there are some graduates that are still alive. I mean, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of graduates that graduated 50 years ago that are no longer with us. They're up in heaven now. But,
right.
But I mean, it's just amazing. You know, right now, we're actually approaching 130,000 graduates around the world. Through we have 295 campuses now. Wow. Only one in the U.S. And pretty awesome place. If you want to check it out, rbtc.org is our website, and you check out our school. You know, we're not a woke college. We are awake, but we're awake in Christ, not a woke. In fact, you know, we're actually, our attendance is going up because of all these woke colleges.
Right.
Now, many people used to call us the Harvard of Bible Colleges, but because of Harvard's such a bad name now, we're like, we don't want to be the Harvard of Bible Colleges.
No, thank you.
I mean, they called us the Harvard because of our, I mean, you know, if you feel called to train for the ministry, it's a great place. If you feel called to learn more about the Bible, it's a great place. I mean, you know, Aaron Annis is one of our good friends. You know, he's not really necessarily in ministry per se. He's in business. And he says he uses things he learned at Rhema every day in business, you know, how to be led by the Spirit, those kind of things. In fact, he went to Michigan, I think Michigan University. He actually didn't graduate, but went there for, I mean, he was in his senior year.
Right.
And he goes, really, I don't use anything I learned in Michigan, but I use everything I learned at Rhema. In fact, that was his son, who's now a third year Rhema student, was considering going to school. He actually had some. He's a track runner. He has scholarships and things like that. But he asked his dad that question. He says, how much of your schooling do you use? And he says, because he was comparing Rhema to other normal colleges, if you want to accept. So, because we don't have English. We don't have math. We're more like a technical college, you know, is what the government considers us, you know, because we don't necessarily think, you know, you might need to add and subtract, you know, your tithes or whatever, but you don't really need much of math, you know, here at Rhema. And so he's here at Rhema because his dad's like, you know, I don't remember anything I learned in college, but I remember everything I learned at Rhema.
Wow.
And I use it on a daily basis in business, not in ministry. In fact, Aaron actually says, you know, I think everyone, you know, could take 2 years out of life and learn more about the Bible. I mean, whether you feel called to ministry or not, it's a great place to go. RBTC.org. Check that out.
Yeah, if you could just put up that website, Chris, just for a second so people can see, rbtc.com.
.org.
Oh, .org. Yeah, there it is.
.org, yeah.
Yep, there's Rhema Bible College. Are they going to have like a inviting past alumni for that 50th anniversary to come and celebrate?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've invited them to come to our graduation, but really at homecoming this year, you know, SWE 295 campuses around the world. We're inviting alumni from every campus around. So we call it a worldwide homecoming. We have it every 3 years, I believe.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be bringing people from all different languages. It's actually a cool time because we actually have a big flag ceremony where we have the nations that we actually have graduates that they bring flags out, and it's a really cool deal. In fact, you could actually on YouTube somewhere. I'm sure you could. You could video see that as well, but yeah, it's a cool thing, and we're pretty excited about that. And we don't know everything we're going to do for, you know, because, you know, we still got until February before to plan it all out. But yeah, we're excited about our 51st year coming up, you know, starting in September. In fact, we just had Rhema College Weekend, two weekends ago, and
right. People
are excited. Applications are coming in. And actually, we're the most affordable Bible college in the nation. It's like $3,200 for a whole year.
Holy cow. That's really affordable.
That includes your tuition. That includes your books. Actually, it was $3,100. Our books cost more money, so we had to increase $100 for books. We didn't increase tuition. We increased Green's books. But the reason it's so cheap is because we have a thing called the War Partner Club. Everyone who comes to Raymond gets a scholarship. Wow. You know, so
because somebody is only, back donating.
Because somebody's donating, yes. Yeah. And so
it's like paying it forward.
We haven't had a tuition increase in 20 something years.
Praise the Lord.
At some point in time, we probably need to go up a little bit. We're probably, you know, a little low, but we want everyone to be able to come. Now, we don't have online courses, mainly because, you know, some people come learn about the Bible. Some people come to be a minister. I don't really know how to really train a minister we know the online training doesn't work anyway. Online school during COVID didn't really work very well. So,
I love really in person.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, Zoom things are great, but there's something about being there.
Oh yeah.
My grandfather actually said this about people, you know, training for the ministry. If you're not willing to go, if you're not willing to come, you're not willing to go. I mean, if you're not willing, like, actually there was a pastor up in Canada and we had talked with him about opening a campus at his church in Canada. And he says, you know, that would be great, you know, but if I would have never left Canada to come to Tulsa, I wouldn't be up here ministering. I wouldn't have a church today. And so I would rather not. I mean, if you make, basically, he's on our Canadian board. He goes, if you make me have a campus, I'll have one. But I would rather they send him to Tulsa. Even though I know I can train him, there's just something about coming to Tulsa. It's just a,
you know, learning how to say fixin' to.
You're
responsible for everybody having two things, a ton of faith and saying fixin' to. So the word rhema, it means utterance, spoken word. What would be the spoken word that is said the most? What would be in one word? What is the the rhema word for your body and everything that God has done through your family? What would you say in one word?
Well, it's hard to say one word, but my grandfather in 1950 got a word from the Lord. It says, "Go teach my people faith."
Yes.
And if you see our logo, it's the faith shield. So if you're going to say one word about Rainbow, describe Rainbow, it's faith.
Amen.
So my grandfather he had a deformed heart and he had a blood disease, and he was given up to die at 16. You know, but God healed him. And he preached until he passed away at 86. Primarily the message of faith and healing. So, I mean, if you want to say one word, I would say Jesus, because if you don't have Jesus, you can't have anything. But right. As far as our ministry, faith is the key. In fact, that's why all our graduates, we say, you take that same mandate to go teach my people faith. That's what we endeavor them to do, to learn faith, to be able to teach it to others. And that's, a simplistic faith. If you ever heard my grandfather teach, it's very simple.
Yeah. It's childlike. It's just believing. And, I'm glad that you answered that word. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but I was hoping you would say the word faith, because that is exactly what I've seen. Like the roots of a tree, the very seed of your grandfather was faith, and just seeing the full fruition of it today, many years later, and seeing it generational. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the Jacob generation living that out. Your kids are like fourth generation. Yeah. What a blessing.
And Happy Caldwell, a number of years ago, came to our men's conference, and actually he said these words. I don't know. I've never looked it up. He says that no major ministry has made the jump from three generations and been as successful.
Yes.
He goes, this is his prophetic thing. He says, not only do I see you guys being successful, I see you guys even growing through the third generation. And I have the fourth generation coming up. Yeah. I got two of my sons that have graduated from Raymond that are out preaching the word now.
Praise the Lord.
It's pretty awesome. Like I said, I didn't say it, that was prophesied. And, we're going great. And so God's doing good things. But, I was actually talking to my class today. I feel that I preached the Shakespeare gospel. And what do you mean? To believe or not to believe? That's the question.
Yeah.
The Bible says only believe. It doesn't give you another option. It says only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Mm. And so really it is. You either believe it or not.
Or you don't.
Kind of like Ripley. Yeah. So you believe it and you receive it, or you don't and you don't get it. So it's, and that's the Shakespeare gospel, to believe or not to believe.
I don't know if there's any other statement that we can clean it up a little bit, but there's an old statement, poo or get off the pot. It's like, you gotta believe.
Yeah, no.
I like listening to your sermons. You're uniquely you, and you have a very good and legible by the brain word. So we're going to play a clip of, this was about a month ago. And I think this is a good way to start and where we're headed, because Patriots, those of you who listen to Church and State, we talk about politics, we talk about faith and the mingling of those two. I think Pastor Craig has done a very good job of embodying somebody who can stand for Trump. He can be a pastor who's representing patriotism, standing on good moral principles, and he's not backing down. He's a third generation son of the faith doing this. So we're going to play a clip of his sermon that was about a month ago, talking about worry. And then we're going to sing and worship. You don't have to sing. I don't even know. I haven't even prepped by singing this song. So this may or may not be off key. We're going to do the best we can just to worship. So go ahead and play this.
I'm better playing the radio than I am singing, but okay. I'll listen.
Yes, amen. So we'll play your clip first, and then we'll do some worship.
Share the plane or the aircraft or anything else. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30 says this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It doesn't say, come to me and I'll give you stress.
I like that.
I'm not able to hear it.
I think that's how many of us interpret it.
Yeah.
We're going to come to Jesus and he's going to give us more stress. You know, and I think that's how a lot of Christians are, because they're, you know, a lot of Christians actually rub in, well, you're just not doing something right. Instead of saying, hey, you should just let go and let God, they're telling you, maybe you don't have enough faith, or maybe you don't do this, or maybe you don't do that, or maybe you're just an idiot. Well, maybe you should just let go and let God and rest. I mean, quit being so stressed out. Now, Dad has a book out there, How to Live Worry-Free. Most of you won't do it, but we can. It goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So once again, he says the word rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? It's all going to be okay.
Yes, you weren't able to hear it, but you just said it's all going to be okay.
Yeah. That's what I believe. It's all going to be okay. I mean,
yeah, it is going to be okay. Let's pray. In fact, will you lead us in prayer, Pastor Craig?
All right. Father God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing on our behalf. And Father, we thank you right now for those that are watching this podcast and are going through a tough time and worrying about all kinds of things. Help them to understand, you know what, that God has this, that God has their back, that God is leading them and guiding them and helping them through every kind of situation. We thank you, Father, that during this podcast today, that words will be spoken that will help each and every person, Father. Father God, we just thank you right now that your will be done in the United States of America. We thank you, Father, that you are healing our land. We thank you, Father, that you are taking care of our situation. We thank you, Father, that it will all be okay.
Yes.
And we will make it. Will make it. I know those of you right now that are thinking, how am I going to make it? It's not how are you going to do it. It's like, put your trust in God. Lean not to your own understanding, but 100% put your trust in God, and it will be okay, and you will make it. You will get through this, and you will come out on the other side. We thank you, Father, for it. We thank you for giving us a peace that passes all understanding right now for those ones that are in confusion. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're just going to keep worshiping for a second. I just ask you right there in your studio, Holy Spirit's with us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank Hallelujah. You. Thank you, Father. Right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.
Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. Jesus. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well. Yes, Jesus. With my soul, it is well. With my soul, it is well. With my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, Jesus. With my soul, we just declare it's well in America, Lord God. It is well, Jesus. With my soul. Pastor Craig, will you just begin to declare over the nation, over the election this year, and just everything, just begin to declare that it is well. Just make some declarations. Yeah. Jesus.
Father God, we just thank you that everything is going to be okay. We thank you, Father, that your will is going to be done during this election. We come against
yes.
any kind of demonic forces
yes.
that is trying yes. to stop the plan of God for this nation. We thank you, Father, for men and women standing up to do the right thing,
yes.
to be able to get their voice heard, Father. But Father God, right now, we come against all these demonic attacks against President Trump.
Hallelujah.
We thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper.
Yes,
and we
God.
Thank you, Father, that they'll follow. We thank you, Father, for giving him strength. We thank you, Father, for helping his lawyers to say the right thing,
yes.
to do the right thing. We thank you, Father, for speaking to these judges. As they're, we thank you, Father, to help them rule in the way the rules should be, as the law states, and not from their own political opinion. We thank you, Father, for helping us to come together as one nation under God, whether
yes.
you're Republican, Independent, or Democrat, Father, we just thank you right now to help us to heal this land, Father. We thank you. We come against any kind of evilness that has taken place in Washington, D.C., in our state capitals, and even our cities. And we thank you, Father, that for revival. We thank you, Father, for revival coming to this nation like never before. And we know that it seems that things are not going the way they should. But Father God, we thank you that our faith is not in our economy. Our faith is not even in our president, but our faith is in God alone. And we thank you, Father, that you are causing things to fall in place right now. And even maybe we don't understand how it's going to happen, but it's not about knowing how, because according to your word, that we have to be able to believe in faith, and we believe and we trust and we know it's happening now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We give you now, this. Yeah.
Amen. I just want to say Webster's New World Dictionary or yourdictionary.com defines faith. And when I got this dictionary when I went to Oklahoma State University, and they gave me this dictionary when I applied for Citibank MasterCard. But anyway, I got this dictionary. It's free. And so before Google, I looked everything up in the dictionary. And I'm glad I had this dictionary and not other ones. So one day I was preaching on faith, which I normally do. And I've been preaching for like 10 years. And I said, you know what? I've never looked at faith in the dictionary. The second definition of in Webster's New World Dictionary, also yourdictionary.com, says this, that faith is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. Now, when I started thinking that, it changed you know, how I preach, because how many times have we said, God, when is this going to happen? When is the question? So according to the dictionary, that's not an unquestioning belief. If you're asking God when, God how come, God why, all those are questions. So according to the dictionary, you're not in faith. You don't even meet the dictionary definition of faith. But it says, you know, it says that an unquestioning belief, that means we know it's happened. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says now faith is the evidence of, of things not seen. Yeah.
Hope for.
Well, it says. Well, I didn't.
Yeah. No. You're on it.
Yeah, but I was trying to get to the evidence.
Yes.
So you know. So it's basically it says that we start out in hope, but faith brings it into reality. It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so the deal is our faith is the evidence. We don't see it. See, a lot of times we're like Thomas. We want to show me those nail prints in your hands, but we're not going to see it. You know, but we know we have it by faith, because definition of faith is unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. So the evidence is our faith. And so that's when we have to stand strong, even when it doesn't seem like things are going to happen. People say, well, it doesn't seem like President Trump's going to get elected, or it doesn't seem like, you know, he's going to win these court cases, or it doesn't seem like our economy is ever going to get better, or it doesn't seem like our nation is going to, you know, survive this.
Yeah, it seems as if like there's a massive wall, you know, that wall that we sometimes talk about in between, you know, the United States and Mexico is between us and what we don't have. You know, it's seeing it into fruition. We've got literally about 30 seconds left. What I'm going to do is right now just say to all of our radio listeners on the American Christian Network, thank you so much for joining us. We've had Pastor Craig Hagen. Please join us for part two. Those of you who want to hear the remainder of our conversation, go to facebook.com, look at Church and State 1776, or either go to rumble.com, check us out at Church and State 1776. You can find those pages. You'll hear the remainder of the interwebs version of our interview. So thank you. We're going to go ahead and continue. Pastor Craig, you were talking about how, you know, seeing into fruition things, you know,
Go
ahead.
I mean, when they don't seem like they're going to happen, that doesn't mean they're not going to happen.
Right.
And that means, you know, a lot of times when my brain says one thing, I'll say the opposite, you know? So for instance, let's just say that I don't feel good. I mean, I really don't feel good, but I'm not going to say I don't feel good, because we can have what we say we can have.
Right.
You know, and the thing about it, when I feel I'm not feeling good, so my thought, well, I don't feel good. My mouth will say, I'm awesome. I mean,
come on, hallelujah.
I've had some battles with some kidney issues. I'm in remission, because the doctors won't tell you you're healed, because they say it could come back. and so not to try to be too graphic, but my kidney doctor showed me some things that I can see in my urine. You know, being a guy, you stand up, you know, when you pee, so you can see your urine. And technically, actually, I was on another podcast, and he had something. If you see too many bubbles, that means that's protein. So I was having protein coming, you know, not go through my body, but coming out my urine, which is also causing my body to be weak, all kinds of things. And so the more bubbles, it would mean protein's not. And so I would see bubbles, and, you know, your mind would think, hey, I'm not healed. My brain would say, you know, I am healed. My kidneys are well and healthy in the name of Jesus. I say, thank you, Father, that my kidneys are well. Well, you know what? It took a little bit, but you know, I mean, my kidneys are not. See, because of my quote unquote disease that they say I have, you know, they let me have a higher number and still be in remission. But my number is back to actually normal, even lower than most people who have the plan. But most people who have what I have end up with a kidney transplant.
Right.
You know, instead of having no issues whatsoever.
Can I ask you a quick question? Like when you would, you know, because I believe that the utterance word, the rhema word, it comes from God. He speaks to us. But I think one thing that you've been teaching your congregation is you have to speak it out loud. Like I not to be graphic once again, but when you're in your bathroom, are you just thinking I'm healed, or do you say it out loud?
I out loud say, thank you, Father, that I am well.
Hallelujah.
My kidneys are well. I mean, you know, because you know, Mark 11 is the keynote scripture for our ministry. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. That's the thing. A lot of people are making the right confession, but they're not faithful. It's not in God. And then it says that whoever will say to this mountain, see, it says that we need to say.
Say it. It doesn't say think it.
You know, it doesn't say think it. It says that well, you know what? Let me read it because I want to make sure that I, you know, people don't, you know, sometimes when you don't read it correctly. So Mark chapter 11, mm-hmm. and I'm going to, I'll read from the New King James Version. And so I like to, so it says.
What
this,
verse are you going to go to? Because I think our technicians.
Mark 11, 23, actually. Okay. It says this, for assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus talking red letters. So this is him saying, and then he goes on to say that whoever says to this mountain, I want to say this about whoever, all right, you know, and the King James says whosoever. So he's talking to his disciples, mm-hmm. but when he says the word whoever, he's mean whoever takes this, you know, whoever speaks. So some people say, well, it's only for your disciples. Well, you didn't say that. He says that whoever says to this mountain, so he says we need to say it. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So he says we shouldn't doubt, but then he goes on to say in his heart, but believe that those things it will be done, and he will have whatever he says.
Amen.
So three times it uses the word that you should be saying. One time it says you should believe without doubting. So, you know, my grandfather always pointed out it's more important to say it than it is. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to say it before you believe it.
Right.
Sometimes you have to speak it out because it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And I'm going to give you a great example. So when I was at Oklahoma, I actually have a degree in accounting from Oklahoma State University of all things. I don't look like an accountant.
No, you don't. That doesn't fit, man. I just don't feel that vibe as far as you being an accountant.
Yeah.
Like you're pretty carefree. You're wearing sneakers and that are comfortable, not the dress shoes.
Yeah. I'm really good in math. And so
awesome.
Accounting was I was able to fill out a 1040 long form, you know, like
9 years old
in high school. Well, probably. I mean, it was, you know, just the things went, you know, and so my mom, you know, because accounting is something any ministry, any business needs. And so wanted me to go to school for account. I had a full ride scholarship. So, I mean, you know, so I went and got it. He said, you really need to be able to help us in business. Now anymore, she used to actually really push to go to college to get, you know, the foundation, you know, for that. Cause in Rhema, we don't teach math, English. We don't teach those kind of things.
Right.
We just teach the Bible, which is great. But, nowadays my mom's like, okay, you need to come learn the Bible. And then maybe if you want to go to college, you can go online or whatever, because these colleges are so, look what's
putrid.
Going on right now.
They're putrid.
I mean, it's just so sickening what's going on, you know, but, so I'm an accountant. So obviously as an accountant, you know, you learn fact,
right.
Not faith.
Right.
I mean, you know, and so, but when I was going to school, I got to I guess it was my junior year, and I just really was dreading school. I kept seeing myself saying, I hate school. I said it all the time. I hate school. Finally, I found out the more I said I hate school, the worse I hate school.
Yeah.
So I decided to change my confession. Every day I would wake up in the morning, and when I'm taking a shower, when I'm halfway, I would say, I love school. I love school. And every time I would think the words, I hate school, I would say the words, I love school. So much so, it became so much of a habit that I'll find myself even today, especially when I'm, you know, when you have those mornings, you're in the shower, you're like, the water's running, you're not thinking, I'll like out loud say, I love school. I'm like,
that's awesome.
I mean,
you really trained your brain.
Yeah. But my brain is like, I love school. And that's the same thing when it comes to anything. Speak it out. Speak it out. If you want it, speak it. I mean, you know, and in fact, a lot of times, how many times have we said, well, I can't afford this?
Right.
I can't, you know, I never have enough money. Well, actually, I'm going to give credit to somebody, one of my friends, Terry Savelle of Foy, her dad just passed away, Jerry Savelle. Anyway, Terry Savelle Foy, she actually had a teaching. And so she would say, when you say something after you finish saying it, and you need to finish up with, and I want it that way. So if I'm saying, I never have enough money, then I want it that way. Well, if you don't want it that way, you're going to quit saying it. So
yes. You know, so it's the litmus test. Say it, make a statement. And if you say, I want it that way, then just leave it.
Just leave it. But if you don't want it that way,
don't say
that. So then don't say that, you know, because I've heard people say, you know what? The week before, I mean, you know, a couple of days before payday, I always run out of money. And they'll say it over and over. At the end of the month, I always run out of money over and over and over again.
Right.
But so if you want to say, and I want it that way, you know, it will help you quit saying
That is good.
And so, I mean, I still give her credit. You know, they say you only give people credit one time, but it's so good. I have to give her credit because, you know, I didn't think about that, you know, but if
Man,
you don't
this
want it that
me.
Way.
This challenges me. This can be good because every time I want to say, you know what, honey? You always, or you never, you always make me mad. And I want it that way. Or you never. And I want it that way. This is such a good, my poor wife. I'm not picking on you, baby, but this is human nature, is to blame everything around you, to be a victim to it.
Yeah. Well, that's just human, you know, our human nature mentality. We want to be a victim. You know, the deal is we're not a victim, you know, and like I said, in my message, I said, everything's going to be okay. And actually, I give an illustration. In fact, I'm going to go preach for him coming up. One of our pastors, he was a Rhema grad. He graduated, went back to his home church, and young man. And the church he was at had been going for older than he is. Mm-hmm. You know, had an older pastor, and he was a young man. The older pastor, and actually, I was actually speaking at their camp meeting. It's in Las Vegas, Nevada. Speaking at their camp meeting. And I showed up the day after the pastor just announced that he didn't do it then, but he announced he was going to turn the church over to the associate. All right. And you think it would be a good thing, but a lot of older people didn't really like it that, you know, the young associate was taking over. He, you know, whatever. And it caused some issues, you know, in the church. And so, you know, and that was, so then fast forward about a year and a half later, he came to one of our meetings. Actually, he came to a homecoming here. And I saw him and I said, hey, pastor, you know, how are things going? And he went on and on to tell me, you know, some of the bad things. I mean, he wasn't trying to be negative. He's just trying to, I asked him. So he wanted to give me the fact. And I looked at him and I said, hey, dude, it's going to be okay. Well, he took that was prophecy. That wasn't prophecy. That was just speaking the Bible.
Right.
And so he said from that point on that every time that he was facing issues, he would say, well, Pastor Craig said it's going to be okay. I mean, I got that prophetic word. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Moral of the story is a year later, he paid his church off.
Wow.
They had to let some, you know, people just, you know, people go or go to part-time or whatever because the church couldn't afford to pay paid staff. They stuck with them, but, you know, they weren't able to get paid anymore because, you know, the church secretary had to find another job. He goes, I was able to hire everybody back. I paid the church off. And it's all because of the word that you gave me. I'm thinking,
wow,
I just said it's going to be okay. But see, you know, some people, you know, don't realize that I wasn't prophesying, but I was speaking the word of God.
Right.
You know, and so really that is prophecy. I mean, it's prophetic utterance. The Bible says it's going to be okay. And I'm telling you, wherever you are, it's going to be okay. Amen. And sometimes you're looking at me like, Craig, how is it going to be okay? Proverbs chapter 3, you know, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. We don't have to understand how it's going to be okay. You tell me how Jesus, you know, split the Red Sea and I'll tell you how he's going to make your situation. You tell me how the three Hebrew children went to the fiery furnace.
Amen.
And the people who threw them in died and these people didn't smell the smoke. How does he do it? I don't know. You tell me how Jesus, I mean, how God spoke to the dirt and made man or how God took a spare rib. And, you know, and made woman, and I'll tell you how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Let me tie back into something. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you jarred my brain open to this idea where the scripture says anyone who says to the mountain, you know.
Yeah,
it says
whoever. Yeah.
Whoever. The Greek word for whoever is whoever. There's no real,
I always say the Greek word. I don't know because I don't know the Greek word.
Yeah. Well, when it says whoever, it jars my brain to this concept right now. You can actually, those of you who, if you want to Google it, you can actually look up Giselle, the former wife of Tom Brady. A lot of people have said she may be a witch. Well, she gave Tom Brady in an interview. He says, well, my wife, she gives me basically spells to say, where he would literally confess out loud, I will win this season. And she would say, she would know, she would speak over a season, you will win this season. And she could even know, and they would have declarations. So I want to tell the people of God out there, this principle is so real that even people outside of God's community are doing this, and they're doing it in a demonic way. But these principles are inside the kingdom of heaven, which is everywhere you see, touch, everywhere your feet tread, so much so that his word doesn't come back void. And one of the things is, it just blows me away, the centurion, he's a military guy. He's never been to one ever church service. He's never ever given tithe, I don't think. I think he may have been a giver, but he's never been to a Sunday night service. He's never been to a full Pentecostal tent revival. But Jesus says he has the greatest faith that he's ever seen in Israel. And it's because he said to Jesus, hey, you don't even have to go there and heal my servant. Just speak it.
Yep.
And it's like, we have to say it out loud. Right now, Pastor Craig, my daughter is going through a hard time because she has been 2 years without being able to be pregnant. And dad, it's just like it's so frustrating because it's like waiting. But I'm literally going to have her watch this, and Ellie, I'm speaking to you right now. I love you, baby. You got to speak it. We have to say it. We have to literally look down and say, okay, I'm healed. You're looking down at the bubbles. No offense. Sorry to be graphic.
I am healed.
I am pregnant. Begin to say, I am pregnant. Everywhere you go, I am pregnant.
Yeah. And never say, hey, we can never get pregnant. You know, people say, right. they'll have their period. They're like, well, look, it didn't happen. You know, but I'm going to give you testimony. So my stepdaughter, she grew up, she had all kinds of kidney stones, all kinds of endometriosis, all kinds of, in fact, they actually had to put her in menopause as a young woman, like an 18-year-old woman.
Oh, wow.
And they got to a point that actually they told her they didn't know if she could have kids. It says she only has a few eggs left or whatever. In fact, she was, they basically suggested, well, because no, we were Christian, says, you might want to try to get, if you're going to have babies, you need to maybe try it now. Basically, that was a good way to get married, I guess. So
young.
So she had a longtime boyfriend, but right. they basically when the doctor said, well, let's get married, start having a family. Well, she was having issues, and so they actually put money down for doing in vitro, to try that way. I think they had put $5,000 down. Well, and she was going to go in on Monday. Well, on Sunday, actually at church, she was, whatever. So she took a pregnancy test and found out she was pregnant. And so now I have a grandbaby, and he's two now. And so now she just found out again that she's pregnant again. So
hallelujah.
So they told her that they didn't think she could have a baby. That, they didn't even know if in vitro would work. And so she did, she had one, she's pregnant again. So, but a lot of it is, see, a lot of times mentally, in fact, I know people who have trouble having babies, and then decide to adopt. And as soon as they adopt, they get pregnant. And the reason is, it's kind of to do with the stress and stuff I talk about in this message right here. When we just relax and let go and let God, a lot of times there's something about even our own physical body. Once we relax and just, it's going to be okay. And we're, because we get so worked up and so tense, and we're trying to figure it. And it's, unfortunately, that something that God created, the sex between a man and a woman, a married man and woman, I should say, but by the way, we're so worked up, it's about, I got to do this. It's all about, instead of being all about you, it's to be all about God. It's going to be okay. It's going to work. And just relax and speak into existence. I will say this. So with my kidney issues and with other issues that our family members have gone through, my mom, I know that she says that, during other times, but every time that we pray for the food, it doesn't matter who's, she would say, thank you, Father, that Craig's kidneys are well.
Come on.
I mean, she would confess it as well as some other things. I mean, it's funny because my sister, like, well, I'm glad when people get healed because we quit tacking on all these things in our prayers. But, because she believes anytime you pray, you should speak those things into existence, whether it's your personal prayer time or whether it's praying over the food. In fact, when our ministry was having we still believe God for a certain figure to come in every month for the ministry. Every time that we eat, we believe God for a certain number of Rhema students. I mean, Amen. That's just You know, there is a power of confession. And let me say this too. My grandfather, what you talked about, spiritual laws, just like natural laws, work for everybody. Gravity works for everyone, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. And it says spiritual laws, the law of sowing and reaping works. I mean, farmers use it all the time, you know. And so the power of positive thinking or positive speaking, I mean, people have written books on that are non-Christian for years and years and years. So the principle works. And unfortunately, my grandfather also talked to someone who was more in the Satanic Church. He says, you know, this person actually said, the Satanic Church believes in that principle more than the Christian Church. We believe that we can manifest things by the way we speak. But here we have the Spirit of Living God living on the inside of us. And when we have chapter and verses where Jesus said to speak to our situation, and we just don't do it. Or even if we speak to it, our faith is not in God. We want it to happen, but we don't believe it's happening. And I think that was one reason in Mark 11:23 that Jesus used an example. So if I were now here, we don't have mountains, you know, here. I know you guys have
we got big mountains.
You have some big mountains. And so let's just say one of your big mountains just, you know, somehow something happens, the earth shifts, and it moves 20 feet left or right. You would never notice from a distance. Now, maybe you get there, you might see, you know, but you would notice if a mountain was uprooted and thrown into to a lake. Yeah, thrown into a lake or thrown into the ocean. You're like, man, there's a new island out there from some mountain that was, and there's a mountain that's gone. So he used an impossible situation, you know, and now I don't believe that anyone needs to really move a physical mountain. But I believe he used that. In fact, another there in Matthew, he says, if we had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, which mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds known to man. In fact, if you buy a bottle of mustard seeds from Walmart for, well, I'm not sure, it used to be like $2.50, but Bidenomics is probably $5.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's like 25,000 mustard seeds in one like 3 ounce bottle of mustard seed. It's a spice aisle. And the Bible says, if you just have the faith of one small mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So how much faith do you need for $10,000? I mean, let's just think about that.
Right.
If I can move a mountain, you know, I mean, I don't even, I need a speck of faith. I mean, I don't really need, and really my faith is in God. See, that's the thing. We're trying to make things happen. And like I said, once again, I blame our math teachers. And you say, well, why do you blame the math teachers? Well, because how many times when you took math, they say, you have to show your work. In fact, if you were just to write the answer, X equals 5, they would count it wrong,
right?
Because X equals 5 is the back of your book. I mean, you know, because you had that,
right?
And so the math teacher always says, "Show your work." Every time you work a problem out, show your work. I don't want the answer. I want you. So we are trained from a young child to always be able to figure it out and show our work. Now, here's the thing: you're a worship leader, so obviously you're very familiar with the song. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above them, there is no other. Jesus is the way. So Jesus is our answer.
Yes.
So if we have the answer, you realize we don't have a problem. You only have a problem if you don't have the answer.
Come on.
Well, so we sing about Jesus as our answer, but we don't really believe it.
Right.
Because if we believed it, we wouldn't be worried about our problem, because I don't have a problem when I have the answer.
Come on.
Now, if I don't know I don't have the answer, you know, and the thing is, so I have the answer, but I'm like, okay, well, that's good. I have the answer, but now show me how this answers, and you know, how does this work? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it just works. It says, lean not to your own understanding. In fact, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Craig, I don't understand how faith works. I said, then you got it. And they're like, no, I said, I don't understand. Well, the Bible says we don't have to understand. And that's why I preach the Shakespeare, to believe or not to believe.
Right.
Only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. I mean, it's just that simple. But here's the thing. Also, it's nothing is possible to them that don't believe. I mean, it's the same, you know, positive, negative, whatever. And
okay, let me be the devil's advocate, and I rebuke
that
I would do anything or be a friend with the devil, so I don't speak that. But let's
I'm friends with the devil. Let me rewrite.
Oh yeah, anyway. show that again. Hey, show our listeners. Yeah. Hey, because you're a pastor for Trump, he gets postcards from the devil.
This is a satanic American flag. I've never seen this, but basically, this guy claims he's Satan. He says from hell, Satan. He put 666, and he's basically tells us that
prideful
gods in this. Yeah, Denver, Colorado, by the way. There's actually five satanic churches in Denver, Colorado. Basically says sexual perversion, gross immorality, and godliness is here to stay. So, you know, basically, he's pretty much saying that that Trump is not going to win and all kinds of things.
Well, return to sender.
Also, he's wrote me five postcards now. So, and this one says Satan loves me. So,
oh, wow. That's a weird symbol. Yeah, not digging that.
Yeah.
I rebuke that in Jesus' name.
Then I have, the Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have been getting postcards from there's a movie called Postcards from the Edge. So I've been getting postcards from the Edge, And so people say, well, aren't you scared? I'm like, no. You should read my grandfather's book, Believer's Authority. I mean, these have no authority.
Amen.
I mean, I pray for the person who sent me that because, you know what? It's a person, the Bible says that we wrestle not against people.
Flesh and blood,
principalities, powers, and rules from on high. So, the guy is deceived. And I'm assuming this guy might be a lady. I don't know. But the deal is he keeps sending him. I think he thinks he's scaring me away
way.
He basically told me to turn from, to join his team, basically. But
not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
We got about 10 minutes left. I want to hit this.
All right.
We're going to go.
Okay.
We're going to go into the Patriot community. There's a mix of the Patriot community will look at sometimes the faith community because there's this community of faith doers who they believe, hey, in Jesus' name, it will happen. And then you've got those who are Christians and some of them are patriots, but they're like kind of coming out of the same vein, not exactly, of James. James chapter 2, if you can look at this, Chris, James chapter 2, 14, it says, what good is it? And I'm so interested about how the teachers at Rhema dealt with James, because it seems like James is such a negative, like Nancy. He's just like, why are you?
But he says, count it all joy, though.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite scriptures.
He says, anyway, what good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If you say to them, hey, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. It is dead. But someone will say, you have faith? James says, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. People have really manipulated this scripture, but there is like so much truth to what he's saying. I just want to have you address, because there's this kind of rift in the Patriot community between those who they believe in physical action and they haven't embraced faith too much. But then you've got like 180 degrees different. There's a community of, and they're none of your congregants, I know, in Jesus' name. Yeah. They just believe, but they're not preparing. They're like, hey, I'm not voting even. I'm done with voting. It's a fake system. All my faith's in God. I'm not prepping. I'm not going to get any beans, bullets, Bibles. I'm not going to do any of that. Yeah. All my faith is in God. I'm not going to be civically engaged because the government is evil. Civics are evil. So I'm going to let, basically pop the popcorn and watch this all go down. So, and I know that's not how you are. So
yeah,
hit that. Faith without deeds.
Okay, well, let me go back to my grandfather when it comes to political things. Here's what he said. He would say two things. He says, I believe that we should be praying for our president, the Bible talks about praying for the rulers, praying for our land. So you should be praying. But number two, you should vote.
Yes.
It's your God-given right by not being a United States citizen to vote. And he said, if you don't vote, you can't gripe.
Ooh.
Now, and so a lot of people, they don't vote, and then they're all mad about what's happening. But here's the thing. When you take Christ out of anything, then all you have is a bunch of bad society. That's why we get abortion. That's why that's why we take the Bible out of school. So I will say this. So I have three of my own children. I have four stepkids. I have seven kids altogether. And they have gone to various schools, but my three boys started out in public school. So my oldest one, because he's the oldest one, the first 3 years he's in public school and we have parent teacher meeting. I found out the first, it was kindergarten, first and second grade. They were all Christian teachers and every one of them thanked me for putting my kid in public school. And they were saying, they said, Craig, you don't realize, but when we take all our kids out of public school, we're left with a bunch of heathens and there's no light in our community.
Wow.
And so it is true. I'm not saying you can't send your kids to Christian school, because my kids have gone to Christian school. In fact, some of my kids graduated later on. At some point in time, they chose to make that choice. But that was their choice. I let them choose. If they want to go to Christian school, fine. I went to public school. I turned out okay. you know, but when, and I think of the same thing when it comes to, I believe that God calls all of us in every arena of life. And I believe, and that's one of the callings. I believe that I am to help. I'm not to run for office. I am to help men and women that are qualified, you know, run for office and get elected so we can put God back into our political right. system. But when it comes to our needs, we, you know, the Bible says we all have needs, but Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or whatever, because I take care of the lilies of the valley. I take care of the sparrows. I mean, I know the numbers on your head. And so I think there's a fine line, but I do believe, you know, my grandfather was also a stickler. He loved Christian doctors. In fact, my grandfather always says, if you're sick, you should go to a doctor and find out what's wrong with you so you know how to target your faith.
Right.
I mean, and yes. he was a proponent for medicine. In fact, he would say, okay, if the doctor gives you a pill, every time you take that pill, you say, thank you, Father, I am healed and I no longer need the medication anymore, and take your pill. He would say, take your pill until the doctor tells you you don't need it anymore. He says, what's it going to hurt? He said, you know, the doctors are trying to do the same thing. God is trying to heal you, trying to make you better. Sometimes they say they can't, they can give you a Band-Aid, but that doesn't, and say, well, I don't have a Christian doctor. Well, you know, modern medicine is good. And so he would actually mix faith and medicine together. And that's how he believed. And so I think the same thing here, you know, we can take precautions. You know, we can be ready. Now, I will say that I haven't gone out and bought a bunch. I do have bullets. I will say that. I'm good on the guns and bullets. Okay. I don't have a bunch of water. I don't have a bunch of, I haven't got the freeze dried food, but I will say that one of my good friends, he has spent $30,000 preparing for this.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, why should I have to do it? He already has a, he,
you know, that's a
he
good
has
point.
A stockpot.
I have a bunch of good friends who've kind of like, they know about any, you know, materials yeah. I may have acquired, which, hey, I don't have anything, so please don't yeah. come to my door. But yeah, I have some good pastor friends. There's a clause somewhere in the Bible that pastors will be fed, ate, and provided for. So,
well, he actually said the reason that I spent so much money was to help you guys out. So I'm like, you know what? Why should I put,
right?
Because
exactly.
He has a big airplane hangar that he has all this stuff stored in.
Good
so
man.
I'm like, you know what? I know where to get it. I know where the supply is, you know, and you know, he's a very wealthy individual. So, you know, he'll be, you know, well, as long as we can use money or whatever, who knows what's going to happen. But hey, but I, you know what? I didn't point this out. So here's the thing, because you wanted me to point this out, because we only have a few minutes. You know, the Bible says that my God shall supply all our needs, you know, according to risen glory by Christ Jesus. So when our needs go up, so does his supply.
Yes.
But I'm here to tell you that my God created DoorDash. Back in the children of Israel walked out the door of their tent, and there was manna from heaven.
Yes.
And but also, see, well, that's just bread. If you actually read the scripture, it says there were quails out there. They just picked them up. So they had meat and they had bread. So if God has the DoorDash stuff to my house, you know, he can do it again. We serve the God of the impossible. So if he did it for them, I believe that if he loves them enough, you know, if I can't buy or sell or whatever, my God will get it to me just like, you know, he's going to get it to the sparrows. He's going to get it to, you know, the people. I mean, my God's going to take care of me. I'm an eternal optimist, you know, that we serve the pressed down, shaken together and running over God. We serve the God that's more than enough, the exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think, God. And it's all going to be okay. And we're going to make it. We're going to get through this. No matter what's going on, it doesn't matter. I'm going to have a smile on my face, and I know that my God's going to provide for me.
And I want it that way.
And I want it that way.
Yes.
And I'm going to, amen.
I'm going to keep saying, and I want it that way. It's going to, that's really going to teach me to watch what I say. And
yeah, validate. It really helps.
Yeah.
It really helps.
I can see all the years. I'll just give you an example. I said, I suck at math. I would say, I am so good at history. I would say I'm so good at science. I'm so good at like writing an essay or whatever, but I would never give myself room to excel in math. So what do you think happened?
Yeah, you're always bad at math.
Yeah. So I'm going to speak over myself. Even I'm going to speak to the past. I love math. Yeah. I love it.
Well, see, I was the same way, or not the same way. So I basically, if it wasn't for English, I would have straight A's. Okay. All through life. I mean, I always made one B. It was always in English, because then I always say I was bad at English.
Right.
Although a B is not bad. Okay.
No.
But you know, for me, I'm an overachiever. Okay.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like I said, I remember algebra 2. My grade point average for the whole year was 98. That was my GPA. But that's why I went to accounting, because I mean math was just for me very easy. English was not that, in so much so when I was Oklahoma State University, I transferred from ORU, I went to ORU first, transferred, and because I had to take an extra English class, they told me, they said, Craig, if you just take one more English class, we'll give you an English minor. Yeah. I'm like, no, thank you. First of all, you don't want me to go around saying I have anything English, you know, the way I talk, there's no way. So it's been such a blessing
having you, Pastor Craig. I want to highlight real quick as we're going here, the Pastors for Trump website, please check this out. Those of you who are patriots, you're passionate Christians.
And whether you're a pastor or not, please join our prayer calls. It's open for everyone, whether you're a pastor or not. The reason we're trying to get pastors involved to help other people involved. So if you'll just go on there and sign up for our prayer calls, we haven't had one in a while, but we've had President Trump on a prayer call.
Wow.
We've had General Flynn. We've had Roger Stone. We've had Rudy Giuliani. We're trying to get Laura Trump coming up pretty soon, for a prayer call. That's our next goal. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do, since he's now, there with RNC, we're joining the next prayer call. Yeah. And so, Jackson Lawmeyer and myself, he's the one who started. I'm the co-founder. And so he's kind of the one who takes care of things. I've been on his case that we need to have another prayer call coming up.
We do. Did you know November 5th, Election Day, is my birthday?
Oh, really? Well, it's going to be a great birthday.
General Flynn, we just had him on yesterday, and he said, hey, for your birthday, we're winning. We're winning in Jesus' name.
Amen. I mean, and check out General Flynn's new movie. We're fixing to have a premiere here.
We're fixing to have it tonight in Spokane, Washington. So, yeah, he's actually in our city. This is going to be aired later, but he's in our city, and it's actually playing tonight at our church.
Yeah, we have it at Jackson's church coming up in May. I don't have the actual date in front of me, but General Flynn's such a great guy. I never imagined that he would be like one of my good friends,
Amazing.
But God just puts things, in front of you that you never even thought of, and an opportunity has arisen for me to be a light to a nation. And,
courage is contagious, Pastor Craig. You have kept your church open during COVID. You have not backed down from the pressure of the media. You are not a seeker-sensitive, wilty piece of lettuce. Every time some weird word comes, you're not following it. I just really appreciate you being in that kind of community. What's funny is you and Jackson are kind of, your churches are different. I have not been to your church. I've watched online many times. More traditional, classic Tulsa, big church, Southern gospel-ish, people saying fixin', but powerful. Like in Jackson's church a little bit, they've got the trendy kind of like youth pastor looking like worship leader. But the thing is, you guys are both juggernauts in the faith, and I appreciate you guys joining arms. And man, I'm so tempted sometimes to move to Tulsa, so you better watch out, because I'm fixing in Jesus' name. Well, I wanted to ask you to do one thing as we close out.
All right.
Every single time you end a sermon, I don't know if you do any type of declaration or you do any type of statement. If you could just do that over our listeners, and then, any type of prayer, and then we're gonna get you out of here.
All right. Father God, first of all, we just thank you for each and every person that's listening and watching this podcast and watch it in the future. Father God, whatever they're going through, I don't know what it might be. We thank you, Father, that you're touching their mind, touching their hearts, touching their soul, touching their bodies, setting them free. We thank you, Father, right now that you help them to know it's going to be okay. For that one that's going through physical issues, Father, we just thank you right now that they're healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, that the healing power of God is flowing in their body from the top of their head to the soles of their foot. The one that's discouraged right now, being depressed, help them to understand, the greater one lives on the inside of you. You're going to make it. You're going to get through this. These things are only temporal. It will all be okay. You're going to get through this situation each and every time. And Father God, help us all to understand that you're in control, that you are leading us and you're guiding us, and help us to know that, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. Help us not to worry about anything, but cast our cares upon you and let you care for them. And we thank you for it now. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see from this podcast. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And amen. Amen. And I want it that way.
And I want it that way. Amen.
Well, I thank you so much for being with us, Pastor Craig. It's been a pleasure.
Amen. Yeah, it's been awesome. Thank you.
Church of Say listeners, I'm Pastor Gabe Blomgren. A calm does not suit me, and on behalf of Caleb Collier, we were born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe even a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention church and state when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together, and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver, because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to bh-pm.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to bh-pm.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry. Your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a two-for-one there. You know you've wanted good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CHURCHANDSTATE.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTATE. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14, 2.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Everybody, it's an honor to be with you.